church family and friends, today we'll be considering the God's calling of the man Gideon, who God would raise to be a deliverer for the children of Israel. Now, if you can remember, Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land of Canaan, a mighty land, a blessed land that flowed with milk and honey. This was God's gift to the children of Israel. He brought them into that land, that productive land, that blessed land. Now, not long after Joshua's death, we are told in 2 Judges 10 that there arose another generation which knew not the Lord, and nor the works that the Lord had done for Israel. And so, not long after Joshua's death and the elders, that generation passed away, the new generation forgot about the Lord God of Israel, forgot about all the great miracles and the great blessings that God had done for them. Why is this? Why did the next generation forget about the Lord God? Well, because in this new promised land that God had given them, they became complacent, didn't they? They became at ease in Zion, and they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. And dear friends, isn't this telling of the days that we live in the UK, in Great Britain, and in America, and in the West? We have become so complacent, haven't we? And we have forgotten about the God that has blessed us mightily in the UK. And furthermore, this new generation not only did not forgot about the Lord, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. They committed sin and followed their sin. They started to embrace the false gods of the nations round about them, of Baalim and Ashtaroth. They started to sacrifice their children and commit idolatry. And don't we see this in the UK today, don't we? Many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of children are murdered in the womb. And upon the convenience that the people are sacrificing their children on the altar of convenience and killing them. And this would have been thought of as wicked some 100 years ago. But this is a picture of where we are today, aren't we, in the UK. We have embraced all the false gods, as it were. God's judgment is upon us. Over and over again, the children of Israel provoked God to anger, didn't they, with their idolatry and with their carelessness. And God's hand, instead of being with them and blessing them, God's hand was now against them. He allowed the enemies to oppress them, because God was the one that blessed Israel. Israel were the fewest amongst all the nations, and God made them into a one nation with one mind, a great conquering nation. But now we can see they're in fear. They're hiding in caves, as it were. Their courage has gone. They're living with a guilty, defiled conscience, as it were. They're now oppressed and afflicted by their enemies. And this is, of course, because they've forgotten about the God that has blessed them. And in the book of Judges, we see this pattern over and over again repeat itself, don't we? They rebelled from God. They went whoring from God. They started to serve the gods of the nation, other gods. And they turned very quickly out of God's way from following the Ten Commandments. And they went the world's way. They served the creature. They served false gods. And dear friends, isn't it true what the Word of God says in this respect in Genesis 4:7? If thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. In other words, if you give in to your sin and follow what the nations of the world, the false gods, if you just live in your sin for the creature, for earthly gods, for earthly ideals, that will rule over you, that will oppress you, that will strip you and empty you of all good. And this is what happened to Israel. They were literally stripped and emptied of everything God gave them. But it says, but if thou doest well, in other words, if you seek your Maker, if you seek the fount of every blessing, well, God will bless you. God will be with you. Your sin won't rule over you, as it were. Nevertheless, God in His mercy and His grace provided judges, didn't He? And these judges were the most unlikeliest of people. And it just goes to show you that God is no respecter of persons. They were very peculiar indeed. And they came, of course, to judge the people and to deliver the people as well, to come and to bring God's judgment and deliver the people. And in today's account in Holy Scripture, Gideon, in chapter 6, I want us to consider the following 3 points here today. Just 3 points for us to consider, to spiritually consider for our souls, which really gives us a picture of what true conversion looks like. And so 3 points to give us a picture of what true salvation and conversion looks like. And so firstly, the condition that they were in, the condition that the children of Israel were in. Secondly, the conviction of sin that many of them had. And thirdly, the deliverance of the children of Israel. 3 points for us to consider: the condition, the conviction, and the deliverance of the people of Israel. Firstly, let us consider the condition that they were in. We are told in verses 1 through 6 of chapter 6 of Judges that God allowed Israel to be oppressed by the Midianites for 7 years because they had committed evil and sin against God. They had forgotten the Lord. They had become careless. They were in ease in Zion. They had become worldly, and in their, when God had given them all these blessings, they gave their hearts to these things. They became in love with the land and with all the vineyards they didn't have to work for, the cities they didn't have to labor for. God gave it to them, but their heart and mind was set upon these things. They forgot about God, you see. What about you? And what about I? And what about us? In the prosperity of the UK today, have we forgotten about God? Have we forgotten about our Maker in our prosperity? Well, the condition in Israel was an awful one, wasn't it? It was a deplorable one. Every year we see the Midianites and the Canaanites and those of the east came up and they spoiled them, as it were. The Israelites would sow their seeds and sow their crops, and at harvest time, the Midianites would come and strip them of harvest, take away everything. They'd bring up their camels, and they were like an unruly mob. They didn't have a king, and so they came up like grasshoppers and locusts and plagued and ravaged the land. They didn't come orderly. They weren't like Israel when God was with them, a great conquering nation. They just came like grasshoppers and locusts, and literally harvest time with the camels, stripped and took the land and emptied them. And they just had the bare necessities really to live off, just the scraps to live off. And so we see this. And furthermore, they did not fight. They did not put up a defense. They did not fight. They took flight, didn't they? And because their courage had gone from them, they knew that this was God's judgment upon them, didn't they? Because they knew they had rebelled from God. There's a guilty conscience here. There was a defiled conscience. They knew that they they were blessed with this land, they were given this land, and they abused God's goodness. And so we see, don't they, that they hid in these dens and caves and strongholds. You know, sin, when we live for our sin, and when we live for earthly things and ideals, it makes us to want to go crawl into the darkness. It makes cowards of men, doesn't it? It makes us to hide away from the presence of God, as it were. But before, this was not true, was it, of Israel? Friends, this is what happens when we leave off and we forget our Maker. When we forget the Word of God. When we rebel from the Word of God. And that, like I said, this is what's happening to Great Britain today. We are morally bankrupt as a nation. God's judgment is upon Great Britain today. This is our condition. We are like this country, ever increasingly. We have corrupted ourselves. Our sin has spoiled us. And like Israel, we are left utterly at the mercy of God. We cannot, by our own strength, cast out the Canaanites. We cannot. These enemies are too numerous for us. These enemies are too strong for us. They're like multitudes of grasshoppers and locusts that have stripped us. And isn't this a picture of our sin? When our sin settles in, when we do not drive out our sin by God's grace and seek Him, when our sin settles in and it takes root in our lives, it starts to take over us and rule us, doesn't it? And this is exactly what happened to the children of Israel. And friends, like Israel, will you be convinced of your sinful condition? Because when they heard the words of God via the prophets, many of them were convinced that this was God's judgment. These things were happening because they had left off God, the God of the Bible, and these things were coming upon them. Are you convinced of your sinful condition? The prophet brought the word of God, and providence, 7 years of affliction happened, 7 years of oppression happens. When all these things happen in your life, and God brings His word to you, what will your response be? Well, their response was that they started to realize their sinful condition. And if it be so that you and I realize our condition by nature, that by nature we are sinful, that we like Israel, cower from God. We seek this world's good. This is us by nature. And then, like Israel, if you will come under deep conviction of sin, that the reason why these things are coming upon me is because of my sin. I must listen to providence. I must listen to the word of God. And God's judgment is upon me. And this is what we're seeing in the UK today. And this is what we see in verses 7 through 10, don't we? Israel hit rock bottom, didn't they? They hit rock bottom. God gave them everything. God had blessed them. And now God is emptying them. He is stripping them. He is allowing this rebel, these mobs without a king, disorderly, just coming up and stripping the land and taking them of everything because they had rebelled from their God. And praise be to the Lord that Israel cried for mercy, didn't they? They cried to the Lord, and the Lord cured them. And dear friends, He can take, like Israel, He can take you out of the dark cave of sin. He can take you out of guilt and sin, and out of your fear and a guilty conscience. And He can gird you with strength from above. This is what He did with Israel, dear friends. And the same is true with us. Remember His works of old. In Egypt, how He delivered the children of Israel from Egypt and from Pharaoh, who are far stronger than them. They were in bondage. It's a picture of sin. And God delivered them from their strong enemy, didn't He? And perhaps like Israel, us, you and I, in our prosperity, we have neglected our Maker. We have neglected the Savior We have courted earthly rivals. We have dated earthly rivals, as it were. We have been found wanting. We have been found at ease in Zion, as it were. But God in His mercy has brought His word to us. God in His mercy has brought us low into a condition. He in His mercy brings us low. He often brings us to an extremity in our life. He brings us to our wits' end for us to understand that we must cry unto Him. He will have mercy and not sacrifice. You can cry unto the Lord this day, like Israel did, and He will have mercy upon you. Friends, this is exactly what we see, don't we, in the remaining verses, verses 11 through to the end and through chapter 7. God's deliverance when they cried unto the Lord. He delivered them upon true, heartfelt repentance and faith towards God. You can cry unto the Lord this day. Cry to the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on what the world says. Cry to the Lord, the God of the Bible, Jehovah, and He will save you. He will deliver you. And this is exactly what we see, don't we? We see here God's raising of Gideon, a deliverer. God's calling and commissioning of Gideon to be Israel's deliverer. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon, didn't he? And there was Gideon thrashing the wheat, as it were, by the winepress. And so you can imagine the scene. Gideon, who we know from further on in Scripture, he had servants, he had 10 of them or more. And there he is, by the winepress, and he's got half a rod, and he's thrashing out the wheat. What was left by the ravaging of the harvest, he's there trying to get as much wheat out, hiding at the winepress, away from prying eyes, as it were. And he, of course, being a master of the house, is still taking courage here. And so something's happening in Gideon's heart here. So strength is being put into Gideon. His courage is reviving in him. He's no longer in a dark cave, hiding anymore. Something's happening in this man's heart, dear friends. And we see the angel of the Lord visits him. And this was no ordinary angel. In the Revised Version, we see that the angel is in capitals with an A. And the Lord here is referred in all capital letters. This was the Lord, Jesus Christ Himself. This was Jehovah Himself. And you see, Gideon had everything going against him, didn't he? Perhaps I'm speaking to someone here today. Perhaps you've got everything going against you. Perhaps everything, financial problems, difficulties, you have so many things. And I can remember in my life, there was many things going against me. And actually, the Lord saved me at that point when I had all these floods of problems happening into my life. And God brought people who spoke the word of God to me. The providence of God brought me low in my life. All these things were going against Gideon. And perhaps I'm speaking to someone here today. Perhaps many things are going against you. Well, take good courage. God is speaking to you through His word and through providence. You see, everything was going against Gideon. And even in his father's house, his father was an idolater, wasn't he? His father worshipped Baal. And so this must have been very difficult for Gideon. But he remained. Although the prophet came and warned them, and although they had been afflicted and oppressed 7 years, Gideon's father, Joash, remained unmoved by God's warning. Joash also remained unmoved by providences, by all these afflictions. Well, what does this tell us? It tells us of how we can be by nature. We can be so stiff-necked, can't we? We could be a stiff-necked people. We could be so stubborn. Even when God brings us low and brings us into poverty and brings us all these things in our life, and he speaks his word unto us, we can still remain, can't we? Obstinate against God and rebellion from God. And we see this with Gideon's father, still, as it were, in this situation. And however, friends, this cannot be said of Gideon. Gideon took God's warning seriously, didn't he? He knew that this was God's judgment upon them. Gideon knew that they had forfeited God's help. They had lost God's help because of their sin. Because all they could think about was living for the earthly things and earthly ideals. They had forfeited God's help. He knew this was God's judgment. And that's why he says in verse 13, doesn't he? Why then has all this befallen us? Why? Why has all this happened to us? He knew deep down that this was God's judgment upon them. Because the Lord says, the angel said, well, the Lord is with you. And he said, well, the Lord is not with us. Where? Why then has all this befallen us? If God is with us, well, why has all these things happened to us? And maybe God's going to speak into us today, and you're thinking, why has all these troubles happening in my life? Why am I all these things happening? Well, have you sought first the kingdom of God? Is God first in your life? The matters of your soul? Have you made that your priority? Like Gideon did. Just a seedling of faith, you see. He took the warning seriously. You see, Gideon was affected by the word of God. He was affected, unlike his father. And that which he also heard from those faithful fathers of old. Not his own father, but those faithful fathers of old. And those words that were spoken to him of those faithful fathers of old, those who believed in God and trusted in God, those words remained in his heart. And that's why he says, doesn't he, in verse 13 as well, where be all his miracles which our fathers told us? Our fathers told us that happened in Egypt. Where are all these miracles? You see, dear friends, we are not in need of miracles. We don't need miracles. But what we need is faith, saving faith. Because in the whole of Scripture, miracles often happen tens, and you know, they can go 100 years without a miracle in Scripture. There's very far spaces throughout the whole of Scripture where no miracles are performed at all. What God wants us to have is faith that brings about miracles. And this is what we see. The little seedling of faith beginning in his heart here. He hears the warning of God. He remembers what those fathers of old have told him of what God had done in Egypt. How God had delivered them from their strong enemies. In essence, delivered them from their sin. Their consequences of their sin. The seedling of faith. And it starts like a mustard seed, doesn't it? Small. And this was in Gideon's heart. It started small as a mustard seed. He was actually very fearful. He was very doubtful. Perhaps very skeptical. And perhaps I'm speaking to someone here today. Perhaps life has had its toll upon you. And perhaps you'll become mistrustful of God. Well, I say to you, take courage like Gideon did. Put yourself into the hands of God. You're in a great strait. Fall into the hands of God like Gideon did. All you need is that seedling of faith, dear friends. Like Gideon. And dear friends, this seedling of faith, putting your trust in the word of God, taking God's warning seriously, taking the things that God allows in your life as a providential speaking of God, taking those things seriously to heart. And when you start to put your confidence and your trust in the word of God, and it takes root in your heart and you trust in the Lord God and Jehovah, then you'll start to see amazing things happening in your life. Amazing answers to prayer, like we see that happened with Gideon. And instead of hiding away, Gideon is no longer hiding away, he's no longer fleeing in caves, no longer living in it with a guilty conscience, as it were. Dear friends, he is now threshing wheat, isn't he, at the winepress. With all of his might, he knows that he's under God's judgment, but he's there now, he's thrashing wheat, he's stewing over how to plan against the Gideonites. He's thrashing this wheat with all of his might, with everything that he's got, and he's stewing, how can I get these Midianites? How can we conquer? Yes, God's judgment is upon us, but I've taken the warning of God's word seriously. And as he's thrashing out the wheat, getting food for his family, he is stewing over, how can we overcome these enemies of ours that have stripped us, that have emptied us in this life? And friends, instead of hiding away, dear friends, he takes good courage. And in verse 14, we are told, aren't we, that the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? You know, dear friends, Gideon was found faithful in little, and God made him faithful in much. Remember that. When we are found faithful in little, and we with all our strength seek of the Lord our God, God will find us faithful. He will put us faithful over much. There's a great lesson to be learned in this, isn't there? A lesson of faith. If we by faith put our hope and our trust in the word of God, then God will make us faithful over much. Take courage, dear friends. And so the angel of the Lord says, the Lord looked upon him and said, go this in thy might. Go this in thy might. In other words, in the faith and the strength that has been given to you, and you're thrashing out this wheat with all your strength, and you're doing this, you've taken the courage, you've taken God's word seriously, and you're thrashing this out. Go in the same strength that you're doing this, that you're thrashing out the wheat, and you're being spent to provide for your family. You're no longer cowering anymore. The same strength of which you're doing that, go and serve the Lord and seek the Lord and put your trust in the Lord and in his word. This speaks to us, doesn't it, friends? This speaks of us on the first commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Have you done that, friends? Don't hold anything back, you see. This is divine instruction he has given to Gideon. Go this in thy strength. The strength which God has given you now, the word of God is within you now. You're holding on to this. Go this in thy strength. Serve the Lord, seek the Lord's word and his blessing in this strength. This is the only way to know God, friends. This is the only way to know of God savingly, to seek his blessing. We cannot serve God and mammon. We must be all in. And so this isn't divine instruction. The problem with Christianity today is many people, that they say, I'll give God some. I'll be a cherry-picking Christian. I'll give God part of my life. But no, says the word of God, with everything, in this thy strength, you're giving it all. Go this in thy strength. Give God everything. Hand it over. Hand it everything over to him. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and then he shall direct thy path. In all thy ways, hold nothing back. Put it all into the hands of the Almighty. He is mighty to save. He is mighty to deliver. This is divine instruction for us, isn't it, friends? We must put everything in. We must fall utterly into the hands of God, because God is merciful. Don't hold anything back, dear friends. Don't hold anything back. The Lord looked upon him and said, "Go this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Have not I called thee with a holy calling? Has not the word of God taken effect upon you? Are you not now thinking upon your sin, convinced of your sin, convicted of your sin, and believing now that only God can save you? Well, the same way in which you're thrashing out this wheat, that's the way you want to seek God and trust in his word. Do the same. Do likewise." And so this is the work of God, dear friends. Have not I sent thee? Have not I put my word and my grace in thee? Have not I girded thee up and put my strength within thee? I have done this. Don't doubt. At all, believe. And we all know what happened next, don't we, dear friends? Gideon's little seed of faith needed encouragement, didn't it? He wanted to know if he had really found favor in the sight of God. And of course, he presented that gift, and the Lord performed a miracle. You see, it just starts off with a little seed of faith. That's all we need. That's all we need. And the Son of Righteousness will provide the increase, will water and raise us to newness of life. That's all you need. It's a little belief, to believe in the Lord, a little seedling of faith. And that is exactly what we see with Gideon. And we see the great change that took place in his heart. The great courage from being a coward to a man of great courage that took place. He now is no longer hiding in caves and sin. He obeyed the word of God. He cast down, didn't he, his father's idols, Baal, and the images. He cast them all down at night. He still, of course, had fears, but he had faith now. A little faith, and that started to grow, didn't it? And he built an altar for the Lord, didn't he? What about you? This is what happens when we truly embrace the word of God. We cast down those altars, those worldly things, those things that take us away from the word of God. We cast them down in our lives, and we live for God. Has there been a change in your heart, dear friends? Are you casting those things down in your life? Those worldly things. Cast them away and seek the Lord. We all know what happened after that, don't we? God gave him the victory over the Midianites and over the Canaanites. He did not need 30,000 plus men, did he? He didn't need 30,000 men of Israel to overcome tens of thousands of Midianites and then the men of the east. This rebel, as it were, God says, I don't want you to use these things in case what? In case you think that you've done it by your own strength. In case you think that you're responsible for your salvation. In case you vaunt yourself and you boast that you've done it with your own strength. No. This is the work of God. God will deliver you. God will give the victory. Don't we see the gospel in this, dear friends? God can give us the victory. God has provided the victory. God has provided a deliverer. All that the Lord needed was 300 men. And what type of men were they? There's a gospel message in just this, isn't there? There were 300 men that lapped like a dog, as it were. It's like that woman in the New Testament. But the crumbs that fall from the master's table, like a dog. I'm just like a dog. Just the crumbs. I just want the crumbs. Humbled, you see. Humbled in the sight of God. I want to use those men. Just those 300 men. Humbled before the Lord. I want to use them. I don't need all these other people. I want to use people who have been humbled by the word of God. And he used them, didn't he? And what happened? God
gave them the victory. God's strength is made perfect in weakness, isn't it, friends? We must humble ourselves. We must understand our condition. We must be convicted of our sin and our neglect, friends, of our weakness. We must be humbled and acknowledge God for whom he is and acknowledge our sin. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. I and all of us here. But you know, when we do humble ourselves and we acknowledge God, then great things, friends, can happen. When we trust in the word of God, that seedling of faith can just grow. It can grow into a mighty tree, a fruitful tree for the Lord. Do you believe in it? Take courage, dear friends. Is any oppressed amongst us today? Has sin and the influences of sin oppressed you? Has it stripped you? Is it stripping your loved ones in your life? It's done so in our families, and it's doing so in our churches. It strips us. Sin, it affects everyone. It's like the Midianites. It gets in. It's like the locust and the grasshoppers. It makes inroads into our life. It's unruly. And it wants to settle in and strip us. That's what it does. It affects us and our families and our loved ones. This is what happens, friends, because of sin. Is anyone oppressed? Let him cry. Cry unto the Lord. And he will deliver thee. He will have mercy. He will forgive you freely. Pardon all your sin. He will wipe the slate clean. He will deliver you. Jesus did that, didn't he? He came from the glorious courts of heaven to deliver us from our sins. We could not do that. We don't have the strength to do that. Our sin is too strong for us. But Jesus did that. He became sin who knew no sin, so that we can be made the righteousness of God. He's overcome our enemies, all of our sins, on the cross of Calvary. He was punished in our stead. And yet he had the victory over sin and death. And upon true repentance and faith towards God, he will give you his righteousness, so that your sins are remembered no more. And he will put his spirit in you, and you will truly be converted. He will deliver you, dear friends. Friends, has sin stripped you of your life? It does with all of us, friends. And when we are left empty, then really we are ready often to be filled with the Spirit of God. We must understand our emptiness within, so that we can know of God. I hope and pray this is true. Cry unto the Lord and taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.
We are not alone. Thank you.